It came to me as Brother Roger was talking about that subject of the Samaritan woman at the well. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ was there. He must needs go through Samaria. He didn't have to. He did, and so he talked with that woman, told her everything that went on in her life. Now, the result of all of that was that woman went back to the city and told everybody she could. She told everybody she could, come see a man that has told me everything about myself, about my life, her husband's, and so forth, and to tell those things. I tend to not do that as much. I'd like to go this morning to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, toward the end of the third chapter. Third chapter, 1 Samuel, the 19th verse says, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord." So they knew this. And he was a prophet of the Lord, Samuel was. "The Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." First phrase here in the fourth chapter, first verse says, "And the word of Samuel came to all Israel." So Samuel is, and you can go ahead and be turning back to the first chapter of Samuel, if you like, a few pages back, but that's so I gave away an ending, if you will, what Samuel became. He was a called prophet, and so he was it was the earliest of prophets since Moses, for one, earliest, but he was the last judge, the last judge. In fact, in my Bible, it says at the beginning of this first Samuel, it says first book of Samuel, otherwise called the first book of the Kings. Israel wanted a king, like all the other nations. No, he was the last of the judges here. And this, I've mentioned before how I have started studying in one chapter or verse somewhere in some book and wound up backing up a verse or two or a chapter or two or something. I backed up for where I started. I don't know where it had to be, about six, seven, eight chapters back to the first chapter of Samuel. But I want to draw some thoughts out of this, and please continue to pray. And not so much about Samuel in this. But in the second verse, it's speaking of Elkanah, who is the father of Samuel. Elkanah, who had two wives. The name of one, the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. So Elkanah had two wives, Peninnah and Hannah, one with children and one without children. So he begins to set up this this scene here and these events. And Elkanah, I'm going to skip some of this stuff, Elkanah went up out of his city yearly to worship, sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. They're in Ramah, I believe it is, which is about 15 miles from Shiloh. About a day's walk. He had to walk a day to get there to sacrifice. And Elkanah went year by year to do that. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters, So we see that she has both sons and daughters. Doesn't say how many here, but he gave to her portions. And in these sacrifices, different uses of these, and I don't want to get into this, but the food from that, derived from those sacrifices and so forth, and he allowed to cook and eat or boil or whatever it was. Don't want to get into all that. But so he gave Peninnah, his wife, one of his wives, portions. In the fifth verse, it says, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. She was barren. She could not have children. And it says the Lord had shut up her womb. So this is the reason right there that she could not have children, bear children. She was barren because the Lord had shut up her womb. That's what he says here. Now, if we pause there a minute, and as we go on through and see and end up at Samuel, this prophet and this judge called by God, well, my thought process, well, why hasn't Hannah already had a child, this son, Samuel, to serve as this prophet and this judge? But God is in control of these things. And we see the details in God's providence in our lives. You mentioned things that are in the New Testament and the Old that we can apply to our lives. This is certainly it. Again, once we know God, He hasn't changed. We can apply that to our lives today in many of these cases. So let me go to actually the first chapter of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1. Get there. And speaking of John the Baptist, but I don't want to speak of John so much, but his mother. The fifth verse is where I am. Luke chapter 1. In the days of Herod, there's a certain priest named Zacharias, and his wife. Her name was Elizabeth. So we have Elizabeth, the wife of this priest, Zacharias. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. So these are good people. This is a good priest here. She's good, Elizabeth, walking in righteousness here, walking in the commandments, ordinances. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. So here's a similar situation. And there's several women in the Bible, if this is the case. I think of Sarah. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. She could have no children. She could not bear children. And they both were now well stricken in years. Think about Sarah again. And all. What's too hard for the Lord? Nothing. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. We might see that sometimes. Or we might think, well, I don't deserve to be blessed with whatever. You fill in the blank. But they're walking. I just read the word verse before. They're doing just fine. They're serving the Lord. But yet, she could not bear children there. And now they're well stricken in years. 11th verse, and there appeared unto him, Zacharias, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. I don't find entered in my Bible here that prayer. But fear not, for Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. God heard it. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now I think of Hannah and Samuel, and now we have Elizabeth, and here is John the Baptist. Both John the Baptist is prophesying of the coming of Jesus Christ, his presence here with us. And John, as Brother Roger said, John the Baptist prophesied of Malachi. Thy prayer is heard, thou shalt call his name John. So Zacharias obviously prayed for that. You're going to have a son. Your wife's going to give you a son. Now, I haven't gotten to Hannah's prayer yet, but Hannah prays for that as well, and she makes a vow to God in her prayer. But if we believe that this is the inspired Word of God, we believe God hasn't changed then, when we offer our petitions, our request to God. And yes, when we pray, we have petitions. I pray for a list of things. I thank Him, certainly, as I try to this morning publicly, thank Him for His blessings and all, and fall short. I'd be praying for eternity if I tried to thank Him for everything. Also, for eternity, trying to beg the forgiveness of my sins. But we offer petitions, and that word's even used back in 1 Samuel. We offer petitions, and so we have a list of things that we ask of God. Our petitions and our complaints to Him, our requests and our utterings and our babblings. And so Zacharias did that, Hannah did that, and their prayers were answered. When I go back to 1 Samuel, God remembered. It says God remembered her. God remembered. That's precious to me. Thou shalt call his name John. If I can find it. Yeah, let me go ahead and jump to the 66th verse of this Luke 1 again, and then I'll go back. Anyway, 66th verse. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child, talking about John the Baptist, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. So certainly John the Baptist talked about, of course, his task ahead of him, his calling, if you will, was to prophesy of this, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me jump real quick before I go back to 1 Samuel, in the 11th chapter of John, where I was. Not long ago. John 11. Bring out a couple of points and I'll get back to it. The 11th chapter, Gospel of John, the fourth verse. And let me grab a couple of things. I know I preached on this, on Lazarus and so forth recently. Jesus says, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Sixth verse, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, Lazarus was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Jesus didn't rush over there. Well, he's sick. And Jesus is all-knowing, just as God is. He knows naturally Lazarus is not only sick, he will die. But there's a purpose in this, and I'll try to draw this together. There's a purpose in this. Now, and then in the 15th verse, Jesus says, and I hope you're remembering these things that I had read before not long ago. And I am glad for your sakes, Jesus says, that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Last verse here, 42nd verse. Jesus, words of Jesus again. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Going back to my original question about Hannah and why had the Lord, why had God shut up, closed up her womb, it caused her to be barren. Then we have Elizabeth. And then we have this, and it was all to the glory of God. It is difficult. It's difficult for me to see that in my life. If I'm wondering, why has this prayer not been answered? Why was it answered in this way, maybe in a negative way and all? Or why has this been delayed? And I don't want to get to, and I won't get into mine and Kathy's personal experience with some of this. But you do wonder. That's natural to us. Well, why? Why not? Why can I not have children? This same God that has all power and to glorify the Son of God and God Almighty, Jehovah, then some of these things take place exactly when and where God would have it. Because He is sovereign. He is our King. It is not for us to question that, but to thank Him for that and then pray for His blessings in it. There's some things that I look in the past and like, well, I've made this decision or that or intended to do this and it didn't work out. And then I look back and I see maybe in a different way something happens and you see God in that. It's to glorify God. That's what we should do in whatever timing it may be. So now going on back in 1 Samuel 1 and 6. Verse 6, and Hannah's adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret. That's sad. That is so sad. Her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. This is Peninnah. This is that other wife. She has children, but Elkanah, about to say Samuel, Elkanah loved Hannah. He loved Hannah. And yet her adversary did this. And as he did, Elkanah did, so year by year, when she, Hannah, went up to the house of the Lord, so she, Peninnah, provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. She's in a terrible state, Hannah. That's heart-wrenching. Hannah cannot have children at this point, and she is just beyond herself. She has this that she wants this. Now, in the eighth verse, so Elkanah, her husband, sees this. He feels it. He knows it. And it says, so the eighth verse says, then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? I know one person staying awake today, and Sister Hannah back in the back, but I'm sorry. But this is a beautiful story. Good points here. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why? He's asked her several things here. What, three things? Four things here he asked. Why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Her husband, caring for her, asked her those three things. And there's a fourth. But at this point, and I apply this to myself, that there are certain things in a marriage that some of you who are not married will soon find out that, you know, the husband tries to get in there and fix whatever this is and just move on. And it is a caring thing, I say. Why are you this way? Why are you this? Why are you that? And all. Sometimes you just need to listen to your bride and to then pray for her. And whatever it may be, may not be even this serious. And sometimes it takes a while to find out, but I can understand Elkanah here. He's asking her this. Now he asks a fourth question. Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Am I not better than 10 sons? So he even throws in a good thing. Well, I'm here. I'm here. He's trying to fix this and make her feel better. She can't have children. But and I would think at this point, many times we husbands don't have a clue what is wrong. We don't know. And sometimes it's not just thrown out there to let us know what that is. But we want to fix it. And we're terrible many times at that. Maybe sometimes we're not so terrible. I at least want to grab hold of that. So he's trying to fix this. The first three questions, I'd say, he doesn't have a clue what's wrong here. Well, he does too. He does have a clue. Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? He knows what's bothering Hannah here. So he did know this. But this is typical. So moving on. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh. So they've gone to Shiloh, both. Elkanah's gone to sacrifice, 15 miles from Ramah, their home. And after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk, now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. So Eli's the priest. They've gone to Ramah. And the priesthood in Israel, all of Israel, is in a sad state at this time. And I'll go ahead and mention this, and you could preach an entire sermon on this, but Hannah's situation mirrors Israel's situation. Hannah is barren. Israel is fruitless. It's terrible. Eli was a good priest. His sons were not. They were not, and that's in here. I don't believe I'll get to that, but they go, and Eli's sitting there, and if I just end that there, that's the end of that sentence there about Eli. Well, what does that matter? Well, we'll see right here. And Hannah, she was in bitterness of soul. She was in bitterness of soul. It's sad. She can't seem to get beyond this. She's bitter, but she's not faithless. She still has faith. You know what? Because I'm going to finish this sentence. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Oh, I've begun to pray to God in my lifetime for something, and wound up weeping bitterly and sore. I didn't know what to do. But I tell you what, just as I just read over there in the New Testament that Zacharias, God heard his prayers. He hears the prayers of Hannah here. So she wept sore, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts. And she acknowledges, Lord of hosts, these great armies of the Lord, God Almighty. This is a powerful God she's praying to. And she knows that. She prays, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid. She's not going in boastfulness or arrogance or see how faithful I've been. See how good I've been in my life. And I desire a child. I want to bear a son. No, she goes as a handmaid, a servant, a slave, a maidservant. Look on the affliction of thine handmaid. We pray to God to bless those who were afflicted, or at least I do, pray that are afflicted with whatever it may be. She's afflicted here, and afflicted in poor people. Affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me. And not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child. She was specific. I will always, I hope, have a mind to remind you that there is nothing wrong with specific prayer. You need something in your life, you pray for that. Who, what better to do? She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept. But will give unto thine handmaid a man child. Then, here's the vow. Then I will give him unto the Lord all of the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. He was a Nazarite, and that was to separate them for the service of God. They didn't cut their hair or drink alcohol. And there are other things there. Don't need to get into that. So she, and as she begins to say there, so in other words, if this happens, then I will do this. She's made a vow to God. Yeah. Now, of course, I think of all of the ramifications had she not fulfilled her vow, kept her vow to God. I wouldn't want to have been around to see that, but I tell you what, if God was going to call Samuel to prophesy, to be a prophet and a judge and providentially watch over him and bless his words that none of them fall on the ground and all, then that would happen. But she did. She did. I'll spoil another, I guess, middle part of the ending that she did keep her vow. And it came to pass that she continued praying before the Lord that Eli, this priest, marked her mouth. So he was attentive to, he was noticing, because, it says, now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved. That's why Eli's seeing this. This is reasonable. Eli, the priest, saying, well, she's just sitting there kind of mouthing something. Now, if I'm around the temple or something, and I'm a priest, I think, well, maybe they're praying. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I wouldn't think that. So he went to jump to other. He says Eli thought she had been drunken. But it says here that Eli marked her mouth. He was attentive to that. Well, I tell you what, someone else who marked her mouth, that was the Lord God Almighty. He heard her prayer. He heard her prayer right there, right then. Eli might have had a different perspective, but an all-knowing and all-loving and caring and compassionate God, he marked her mouth. He heard her and was attentive to her. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. So she tells the priest this. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, evil or wickedness, and don't count me for that. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. My complaint, my prayer, or my speaking, or my babbling the complaint and my grief, and there is a provoking there in that. She is in great, and we're given great detail of these emotions and her actions at this point. Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition, your request. So now Eli's prayer has been answered as well. That's his prayer. He blessed her and here at this, and Elkanah. May the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Bless you that might come to pass. So the priest is then praying. And so I say that's why, and we get, whether it be via in person or email or text, whatever it is, and we get the word out about something, as we did this past week or so, Sister Meredith, that we get the word out. And I'm not going to, I'll tell you what, God was attentive to Hannah's prayer right there. He'll answer that. But we have these others praying for, Zacharias prayed for that Elizabeth would be blessed with a child. And that prayer was answered. And Zacharias was told that. Your prayer's been heard. Your prayer has been heard. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Something had changed there, obviously. I went from she was in bitterness of soul to her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord. Something had changed there. She had, Herbert, either she, within her soul and spirit, gave her burden to the Lord, or he took that burden from her. She was blessed in that. Her countenance changed. That happens. There are some things where I might ask 17 petitions. I might lay those out to the Lord, and I don't know if he's even hearing my prayer. Well, I feel certain he is. I won't say that, but will these be affirmative? Will he grant these petitions? But after that prayer, I feel my countenance is no more sad after that. He blesses us. Just pray to the Lord, even in bitterness of soul. I've had to pray in bitterness of soul, in anger, in great sadness. You pray to God. Pray to God. I would counsel you. They rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. It's not like he forgot her. He remembered her. He was with her here. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son, and she called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. That's what Samuel means. Names meant something back then. I know that you all have named children that mean something. It says his name is Samuel, because I have asked of the Lord, is what Samuel means. So Elkanah went back, it says year by year, to offer the Lord. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. Again, this makes perfect sense. So she didn't go up. Now, remember, she's got a vow hanging out there in front of her. She told God something. And I think at least so far, y'all remember what that vow was. She's going to give him to the Lord to serve him. I don't know. I'd be holding my little baby. Like, I don't know. Maybe he'll forgive me if I don't. No, she knew she was going to do this. But until she child be weaned, then will I bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. All right, she's still on track there. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. Establish his word. It's like, you keep your vow to God, establish the Lord's word, and the Lord's word will be established. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. So even here, they jump through some of this stuff pretty fast. And I'm going to begin, I hope to begin to wind this down. The 24th verse, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks and one ephah flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, back to Shiloh. And the child was young. They slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. So she's going to give this child to Eli, the priest, to serve in the temple. But remember when I mentioned the situation of Israel is, and the priesthood, his sons, that they're wicked, they're evil. But she had that much faith in God. I vowed this, he answered my petition, and now I'm going to give my son, this little child, she's about to leave him here in all of this. And again, Eli was a good priest. Twenty-sixth verse, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. She's telling Eli, I'm that woman. Remember, it'd been that all that time, and that's I don't know how long this has been, but anyway, so reminded. And it says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. So I'm not going to go into this prayer of Hannah here. And people will mention and talk about the similarities of Hannah's prayer with the prayers of Mary, as well in her prayer in the New Testament. Let me just get a bit of this. It's not even noon yet. So Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God." I think she prayed like she never prayed before here. Something that you talk about, her countenance had changed, that her outlook had changed here. She's fulfilled her vow. God's blessing her to do that. And she's praying to him, acknowledging his majesty here. It says in the third verse, "Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge." Then this, I thought, well, great, this had to be tacked on here. "And by him actions are weighed." By him actions are weighed. Tell you what, if I come out as arrogant, boastful in anything I do, in the church, outside of the church, then my actions are weighed by the God, Lord God Almighty. And mercy be unto me if I do that, do anything. I continually have to pray. I must pray that in whatever I do, it is truly to the glory of God and for the benefit and the welfare of the church that Jesus Christ set up. Great fear exists in me if I neglect to do that. If I do something for the wrong reason, yes, God will have mercy, and I may learn a valuable lesson. In love and in care, all we want, and I tell you what, sometimes a minister and others, all we need to do is just step back. Well, maybe I don't need to say that or do that. Just step back and let the Lord handle that. Therein lies the difficulty in life, in all of our lives. When do we do that? Is the Lord pushing me to do this? Is he guiding me, leading me to do that or not? Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. By him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry cease. So that he blesses the hungry. Then she says, "So that the barren hath borne 7." That's a number of completeness. And she that hath many children is waxed feeble. Now I will go ahead and say that she has Samuel at this point, has that one son, God blessed her, she's given him to the Lord. But then in the 21st verse it says, "And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord." So the Lord blessed her with this larger family. And then if you read on from there, you can do it later, but it talks about Eli's sons, these evil, wicked sons of his. So what I see in this, these events that I've gone over, And Hannah keeping her vow then. Imagine yourself, put yourself in her place, in that you have this little child, this son that you prayed for, that God's given you that, and you vowed to do something. She is going, and she's about, and it says then that she and her husband headed back to Ramah, left or some. Now, she made coats year by year, little, and it says, it has in their phrase, first she made him, Samuel, a little coat, and so she cared for Samuel. She's his mother. And so she cared for Samuel and took him a coat, but she had to leave. We've had to leave people and walk away and physically leave to drive somewhere, go home, or go and leave them, knowing that, Lord willing, we would see them again. We haven't left them. Now she is too, but this was to me, this is a little baby. That touches my heart. You know, I don't know if it had been a 20-year-old, maybe I wouldn't have been so bad. Oh yeah, you go ahead and stay there. Now, try not to get down in the ages of some of the kids here in that. But anyway, she had to leave her baby, her child Samuel there and going, but made him coats every year because he outgrew them. And then he, as I first started out in the third and fourth chapter of 1 Samuel, he became this prophet. He was blessed by God to prophesy and to judge the people here. And so you know much of what Samuel's life was. Now I can imagine that I will close, as many times I do, over in Psalm 13. And I can imagine, I can see Hannah praying this prayer right here. Psalm 13. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? And there are people right now in that situation. Right now, there are. Out here, maybe someone here, I don't know. How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? I think of her, the other wife, Elkanah's other, Peninnah, her enemy. It was an adversary there. Hannah had to put up with that as well. It's bad enough. She's barren, can't have a son, can't have a child. But then to have this, and I was terrible adversary. We have the same type of adversaries. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep in the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him. Remember how I preached recently that how are the nations to know that we are your people, lest we win these battles and that you're seen with us as God. And I think the pillar of smoke and so forth there upon the mercy seat. How are we to know? So that they'll know that we are thy people. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Let me finish this up. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. She said that in her prayer, in his salvation. She has seen his salvation, certainly in her life, here and now. Not even speaking of eternity. Then it says, he closes here in the sixth verse, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. We remember those times. We see that. And those around us, those that I read about, Lazarus, that it was so that they would believe that, and that the Son of God would be glorified. And Hannah glorified God the Father, the Jehovah God, and then the Son of God, God Himself, that they be glorified. They are in all of this. In our failings, they're glorified. When it is shown that our enemies do not see that they have prevailed against us, they know that God is with. When we go out and testify testify to those around us. I used to say, my mom got to wear, she didn't used to do this. I don't think I've heard, but she would give you her opinion whether you ask for it or not.
Yeah.
One of those, yeah, she was that way. Many times today, I wish mom was here to take care of this. She just blurt out something and all. But whether someone asks or not, sometimes you just have, you start the conversation. I'm more of a type, I tell you what, if he says something to me in the grocery store somewhere, I'll talk to him and we'll get it. And I've been blessed in that. I walk away glorifying God because I realize that that person, man or woman, that right there that I just saw and will never see again is a child of God. And that God has time, and he's born again. I don't have to judge that. But you feel that. You see that. And that is uplifting to me. Maybe I needed that. Maybe that, talking to that person, was an answer to my prayer or someone else's prayer for me. May God bless and keep you is my prayer today.
Amen, brother.
We'll sing a song. And